It's time for the Wisp Politics Book Club, celebrating Wisconsin authors and books about politics, government, and history.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Mayers from WispPolitics.com and here for the latest edition of the WispPolitics.com Book Club. And we're talking about One in a Billion, the story of Nick Volker and the dawn of genomic medicine. And I have one of the co-authors today, Mark Johnson. His co-author is Kathleen Gallagher. Mark is a reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks very much for having me, Jeff.
So just tell us how you and Kathleen came to write the series for the newspaper that ended up winning the newspaper Pulitzer Prize and then writing the book. Tell us about how you came to the story and how it seemed compelling enough for a general interest audience.
Sure. What happened was it was actually a tip that came to Kathleen. One of the things, she's a business reporter with the paper, was a business reporter, I should say. Anyway, one of the things that business reporters typically do is at the end of conversations, they're often fishing for the next story. They ask, you know, so what else is going on, that kind of thing. And it was during one of those interviews that at that sort of tail end that she got this tip. It was among several things that the person she was speaking with said was going on at Children's Hospital. The source had said, oh, they've got this going, they've got that going, and they sequenced all the genes of this little boy. And Kathleen, being a very savvy business and science writer, knew that this seemed unusual. And when we did a little bit of checking, and we couldn't find any published examples of this having been done before. So that right off the bat made it a highly interesting story. But the real key component was the fact that we were able to get the family to tell their story. A lot of medical landmarks are sort of involve anonymous kind of patient zero people. We don't really get to meet the families that take these sort of leaps into the unknown, and in this case we did. So that was one of the things that was very compelling about it, that we got to see how a medical landmark unfolds, you know, in real time, how ethical decisions are made, how the scientists, you know, kind of deal with a situation like this. One of the other things that was very interesting was that at the time that we started researching the story, it was still very much ongoing. Nobody knew how Nick was going to do, whether the treatment, whether the sequencing of his genes had actually produced the correct answer, the cause of his illness. And so we got to watch that unfold. It does appear that they were able to find the cause of the illness that he had, which basically he had an intestinal disease, and when he would eat real food, he would get these holes in his intestines. And what they did to treat it was they basically gave him a whole new immune system. He got something that's very similar to a bone marrow transplant. It was called an umbilical cord blood transplant. And it's basically like getting a whole new immune system. His disease was basically an immune system problem. His immune system was reacting every time he ate food. It was reacting toward the food as if it was, you know, an invading force, and it was going nuts on his intestines. So they've now had long enough since he was sequenced and since he received the transplant to determine that they looks like they got the right answer.
Yeah, so, you know, this is happening right in Wisconsin with a family from Monona, Wisconsin, and there's also a link, not only is he being treated here, but there's a link to the research being done at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
This was a great part of the story, too.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, it was a really kind of a cool sort of underdog story, because the places that were at the forefront of, you know, genomic sequencing. And the genome is basically the blueprint of a person. We all have one. And the sort of heavyweights in this science were places like MIT, Baylor School of Medicine, Washington University in St. Louis, and Medical College of Wisconsin and Children's Hospital weren't really much on the radar nationally or internationally. But as it turns out, they had been very smart, and they'd been planning ahead to ever since the Human Genome Project had sort of cracked the code for the very first genome, which had been incredibly expensive. It cost about $600 million to do. The Children's Hospital and Medical College of Wisconsin had been planning ahead for the day when this would one day be something that could be translated into the care of patients. And as it turned out, they had a plan. They had were going to bring it to the clinic in 2014. And when this little boy, Nick Volker, showed up, they had to move everything up about 5 years. It happened like 5 years faster than what they expected.
Yeah, nothing was like a live case to make it happen, I guess, saving the kid's life.
Well, that's it. I mean, you can come up with, this is the thing about hospitals and medicine in general, is that you can come up with all these great plans and blue papers and things like that, and then a patient shows up at your door who's got an urgent problem, and, you know, if they don't, everything else gets used, every other treatment that they have, and you have to make a decision. You know, it's not a matter of whether all your T's are crossed and I's dotted and everything's in place. Sometimes you have to go with a new technology a little bit earlier than you hoped. And that was what happened in this case.
Okay, we're talking with Mark Johnson, a co-author with Kathleen Gallagher of One in a Billion, The Story of Nick Volker and the Dawn of Genomic Medicine, published by Simon & Schuster. So just moving on a little bit now to, you know, this technology and what the Nick Volker case is leading to. I mean, what do you see down the road? Is this going to be the answer to all our incurable diseases, treating all these incurable diseases? Are there ethical hurdles first? Or, you know, what do you see going down the road here on this?
Well, it was very funny because when we first came out with the story, a number of the institutions that had been kind of beaten to the punch were calling us to say sort of, you know, well, this isn't the real sort of poster child. You know, they went a little bit too soon with this technology. They were kind of cowboys, you know. And then within about 3 to 6 months, very quickly you saw like the largest hospital chain in New England adopted sequencing, began its own sequencing program. And I think the last that I checked, there's at least, you know, 20 or 30 of these in North America now that are doing what the Medical College of Wisconsin and Children's Hospital did in 2009, 2010. So the technology is very quickly, coming into medicine. However, the thing is that it's not going to always be the answer for questions. Sometimes, in fact, in a lot of cases, it's going to tell us what's wrong with a person, but we won't be able to tell us how to fix that problem. Sometimes we won't even actually get an answer in terms of what the problem is. We still have a long way to go in our understanding of genes, and there's still many genes that we don't really know what they do. So if we discover there's a mutation, the mutation affects what the gene is doing, and that's very helpful to us if we know what the gene's supposed to do. However, if we don't know what it's supposed to do, then knowing that it's messed up doesn't really help us. So this is beginning already to help us with, especially in cancer, because there are a lot of treatments in cancer that really only help a fairly small percentage of people with a particular kind of cancer, you know, say breast cancer. And what they've been learning more and more is that the effectiveness of these treatments depends on the specific mutation that you have. And certain treatments are perfect for, you know, a specific mutation, but don't work at all on another kind. So sequencing helps tell cancer doctors, in some cases, you know, hey, this is not the the treatment we should be using. This is a more unusual kind of cancer. We should use this other treatment. It's also helping in cases similar to Nick's, cases where it's a new disease or a disease we haven't encountered before. This helps us to find, you know, at least, even if we don't know what the gene does, we can at least try to pinpoint where the problem is occurring in the body. Then we start to, you know, the process is then to try to figure out, okay, what does that gene do? What is it involved in? You know, does it help? Does it play some role in how we distribute oxygen through the body? Something like that. So it is making its way into medicine fairly quickly, but it's also sort of headed down. It's leading us into some interesting ethical territory, because we now have another technique that actually allows us to edit inside the genome. If we know there's a problem, we can try fixing it through sort of gene editing. It's it actually turns out to be not as complicated.
I hope it's not as bad as the word editing. I hope it's more precise.
I think it's actually something that's fairly comparable. I mean, I try to look at the genome, and I think this is a helpful way to view it, as kind of like an encyclopedia. I mean, it has the Encyclopedia Britannica has somewhere along the lines of like 45 million, or actually I think it's 55 million words. And if you look at like each character in those words as like a roughly equivalent to one of the letters in the genome, it's kind of not a bad way to, you know, to look at things. When you have a mutation, it's kind of like a typo in the genome. And in Nick's case, one of the most fascinating things was all of the problems that he had, this disease that basically almost killed him, it all came down to a single wrong letter, basically almost like one typo in the 55 million word Encyclopedia Britannica. And that just had this ripple effect that caused all this havoc in his body.
Wow. So now you'll be able to write a book, you and Kathleen will be able to write a book about the editing process, but so maybe there's one of those in your future. Well, we're running out of time here, Mark, but I want to thank you. Mark Johnson with Kathleen Gallagher wrote One in a Billion, the story of Nick Volker and the dawn of genomic medicine, published by Simon & Schuster. Thank you very much for joining the WISP Politics Book Club, Mark. Take care.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
The WISP Politics Book Club was brought to you by generous sponsors. See them in the archive of these podcasts at wisppolitics.com.